What are the implications of the rediscovery of the ivory-billed woodpecker? I asked Tim Gallagher, author of The Grail Bird, and one of the birders who saw an ivory bill last April. Now, one of the ironies of the whole affirmation that, yes, there really are still ivory-billed woodpeckers, is that the people who have been most aware of the existence of ivory-billed woodpeckers and most touched by its apparent extinction have been birders who want it for their lists. Mm-hmm. What approach should a responsible bird watcher have about this news?
Well, I don't think people should rush down there right now to try to see the bird. In fact, that area where we had our sightings, they have managed access now, and they're just letting researchers go right in that area. But they are starting this setup. They've already got some kiosks and parking areas set up, you know, where roads bisect the place. And they're going to be putting up observation towers. And actually, I think from those towers, you stand as good a chance of seeing one of the birds as you would, probably even better than you would going through the swamp, because it's so dense and heavy with forest, especially this time of year. I mean, this is actually the worst time of year to look for ivory bills. I mean, Jim Tanner said back in the 30s that the summer the birds are quiet and you can't see them because of all the foliage. They're up in the tops of the trees. So it's really late fall, winter, and early spring that are the times to look for these birds. So I definitely would discourage people from going now. And this is also the time when there are the most snakes around. I mean, a lot of cottonmouth water moccasins. And you know, you don't want to get bitten by one of those.
No.
So I just encourage people to wait a few months and until they get everything established down there.
Is Cornell going to be offering any, or the Nature Conservancy, any organized things so that they can keep groups sort of managed?
You know, I don't know what things like that are going to take place. I mean, that a lot of that has to do with the Fish and Wildlife Service and their refuge system. They have to decide what they want to do and how much access they want to allow. So it's a little early now to say about that.
Was it intentional that the announcement was made during the season that people would least be inclined to want to tangle with snakes and excessive foliage?
Well, we decided we wanted to try, if at all possible, to have a full field season. We've had the late part of the season the year before in 2004, and then we had couple of people out there all through the summer, which is kind of a waste of time. But then we started our next field season December 1st, and we wanted it to run till April 30th. And we wanted to try to make it through that whole time without having to worry about crowds of people coming or other distractions.
Right.
And we almost made it. You know, it actually, the secret came out about 3 weeks earlier than we'd planned, but it turned out to be good.
After the ivory-billed woodpecker was seen last year, the search team kept it secret for 14 months. Next time, Tim Gallagher talks about the importance and the difficulties of keeping this silence and what we can do right here in the Northland to help ivory-billed woodpeckers survive. You can read more about the ivory-billed woodpecker and get links to the video footage of the one found by the Cornell team through my blog. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.